Mark alcoholic.
Mark.
So I got sober on December 23rd, 2013. This is my home group. I have a sponsor, sponsor others, and I'm eligible to sponsor. So I'm honored to speak for Gabe tonight. I remember when Gabe started coming around, and I was like this guy, drinks like me, a lot like me, you know, and we quickly became friends. And a lot of people, when I was new, used to pick me up, because I also was not allowed to drive, except for business purposes only. And so I was happy to like pay it forward and like hang out with them. But I started drinking when I was a young teenager, right? And the first time I remember getting like pretty drunk, I was probably like 14 or 15. And it was the summer when my cousins was visiting from Virginia Beach. Our older cousin, she and her husband got us some like crappy like wine coolers or like Smirnoff Ice or some shit like that. And they gave us just enough so us idiots could get like pretty tipsy, but not so much that we could like really cause damage. And I just remember having a great time that night, right? And we watched like 80s action movies, laughed a whole lot, and woke up the next morning, and my cousin was like, you know, you get like flush, right? You turn red, you start to break out when you're drinking. I was like, huh, that's weird. Maybe I should drink more water or something, right? Because like I was already like, yeah, no, I'm gonna do that again, the chance I get. It looked like I was 12 until I was about 30, so it wasn't super easy for me to get a ton of alcohol, but every chance I got, I drank. And the first time I had like repercussions, I was arrested. I was a freshman at USF. It was spring break. It was not a cool spring break story. It was not in Panama City Beach. I wasn't in Mexico. I was in Sebring, Florida for the race. My buddy and I got some tickets. We borrowed my mom's minivan to really add to the cool factor. We had some Natty Light in the cooler. It was about 10 a.m. We cracked open our first Natty Lights. We're sitting on the back of the minivan with the hatch up, eating some like chocolate Entenmann's donuts, you know, like real classy guys that we are. And I'm Mark Ford Explorer rolled up, and somebody was like, hey, what's doing? I don't know why I always have to do the like bad southern accent to like mock her. It was not that bad, but I'm still, you know, probably still should show up on my inventory. She asked for IDs. She looked at my buddy and he said, I'm 22. He had facial hair, although being only 6 months older than me, didn't question him, looked at me and said, get in the truck. So I was booked and released, along with about 150 other people who were under 21, and it turned out to not be that big of a deal. But I remember driving to Sebring to go to court with my dad, and I just remember that like really long car ride home, where he was like, you know, this thing runs in our family, where you know there's a lot of problems with alcohol. Yeah. But what I took from that was like, don't get caught drunk, don't get a DUI. Everything will be fine. Just got a couple years to like hide out. So I managed to not do that for a while. I managed to eke out a degree and get somewhat of a professional job, you know. And all through college, I like worked a lot and went to school. So I think that sort of like funneled my drinking into like a narrow range of time. You know, I could drink between like 11:30 and like 2:45. You know, so that kind of kept me from getting like super sideways. I got like a somewhat normal job. My friends and I started pre-gaming, and so drinking beer, rum was my best friend. So, it went along like that for a couple of years, and more often, like, I would get the stories of, like, you know, wake up on my friends' couches, backseat of cars, sometimes my own car, sometimes somebody else's car, you know how that goes, right? And, or, like, wake up in my bed, and then the phone would start ringing, or the text would start coming, do you remember last night? Do you remember what you did? You know, whose girlfriend he tried to make out with, whatever, right? Like, whatever stupid thing I had done, you know? Like, yeah, it probably wasn't that bad, right? And, you know, it went on like that for, like, a while, right? And then it was January. It was the weekend of Gasparilla. And the weekend before, I'd, like, gotten a little out of hand, right? Like, my friends had to, like, you know, pick me up and carry me out of whatever bar. You know, it was a real pain in the ass, like usual. And this weekend, this Saturday morning, I woke up, and I had what the big book describes as this, like, impending sense of doom, which I immediately, like, wiped away. I was like, yeah, we're going to that stuff, right? And I was like, just take it easy. We'll get too carried away. The year before, I was on Captain Morgan float with some friends, and I was one of the people who was not walking back on the float. It wasn't my fault. It was an incident with a fire extinguisher. So this year, I woke up that morning, and I had this thought. I was like, I'm not an alcoholic. There's a whole handle of Captain Morgan in my freezer, and it's been there for like a month. If I was an alcoholic, I would drink that by now. And so I was told, or it was later pointed out to me when I got here, that most normal people don't ever have those thoughts, right? Like, they just never occur to them. Just, they don't want to get drunk, they just don't. And they don't think about what we're doing in here, apparently. So, woke up that morning, right, pending sense of doom. My buddy calls me, so I go meet up with him and his girlfriend, bring the handle of Captain. We stop at like 7-Eleven and get Big Gulps, ice, a little splash of diet, and just loaded them up, and we start walking on the breaker. So, like, later, I would talk to people, like, I saw you at like 1:30 in the afternoon, I saw you at 3, you didn't seem that wasted yet. So what happened is I got very blackout drunk. We were somewhere downtown, not that far from here, at a bar, and the last thing I remember is leaving that bar. We went to another bar on the water, the Marriott Waterside Hotel, which now has locked boat docks. You're welcome. So I was like the slippery drunk, you know, like the guy you keep an eye on, right? Like, they, like, slink away. So I did. I slinked away. Like, my friends, there was like a dozen of us. We all, like, converged in this one bar. And they were trying to get, like, a couple of taxis, like a bus or something, which is, like, impossible, Gasparilla. So when they finally got, like, something lined up, they turned around and I was gone. So they, you know, start calling these girlfriends and, like, all of our other friends, and, like, where's Mark? Where did Mark go? And then they were like, whatever, he'll surface later. But I walked down the boat docks, saw a boat with keys in it, jumped in and took off. Don't know where I was going. I lived in Lutz, right, over near the water. But I like boats. So I stole this boat, borrowed without permission, and I've heard different stories. One was that I was driving, it was getting dark, and it didn't have running lights on, I was going too fast in the wake zone, I was in a combination of all the above. Marine Patrol has pulled me over, I fled, as you do, and one does, my first instinct. So they chased me, as they called in the boat. It was just being reported stolen. Big boating holiday. Marine Patrol was being backed up by the Coast Guard. They were not too happy with me. They chased me. They were in a fast, small, movable boat. So apparently, at one point, I was, like, you know, doing all kinds of crazy maneuvers. I eventually had a slow-speed collision with them, so I rammed them, which is called assault with a deadly weapon. So that did not work out for me. So eventually, I don't know, I heard a couple of different stories, ran up on a low bridge, ran the boat aground, heard a couple of different things. I don't remember. I remember being on the deck of the Marine Patrol boat in handcuffs, and then I remember being back sheriff's office car, and then in jail. So that landed me in federal prison for 5 years, and that's not what necessarily makes me an alcoholic. What makes me an alcoholic is even then I was still like, could happen to anybody, right? Bad night of drinking. And I remember talking to this like detective like that night. He was like interviewing me. It's like hazy, right? I just remember being like, I think somebody roofied you. I think somebody put something in your drink. I was like, that's it. Well, big misunderstanding. Maybe some fines, community service. Obviously, that's not how that worked out. So as part of like my defense, because I like hired an attorney, like you could somehow not be federal charged. Had this forensic psychologist or psychiatrist that tried to defend me. He said I had an abnormal reaction to alcohol. I had an adverse reaction to alcohol. And that my body processes alcohol differently. But I had an allergy to alcohol. And I was like, that's it. I'm not an alcoholic. My body just reacts differently to alcohol. Which is the most absurd thing, right? I'm a delusional alcoholic, right? Like, my delusional brain tried to manipulate the clinical definition of alcoholism to being somehow that I could one day drink successfully again. So I spent a few years in prison, and every 6 or so months, you meet with some counselor, they talk about the terms of your release sometime in the far-flung future, and every time it was just like, yeah, and you get to the part where, like, and you'll have probation, with no alcohol, yeah, okay, whatever, right? So finally, like, I get out, I go to the halfway house, not the kind of halfway house we're used to, the federal kind, I meet with my probation officer for the first time, and he goes to the same spiel, but this time he gets to the part about no alcohol, and he says, and no alcohol to excess. I was like, okay. I didn't react, but I remember in my brain, I was like, he just said you're allowed to drink. You're allowed to drink, just don't get caught drunk and don't get a DUI. But I was like, don't give him anything, right? Nothing. Stone faced, right? Doesn't faze me. But inside, I'm like, I'm allowed to drink. I don't drink for a few months, right? First time I drink, I have no intention of drinking. It's my buddy's girlfriend. She's graduating from Stetson. And we're all at St. Pete Beach, not going to drink. One of my friends, she breaks out finger guns for a round of shots, and I just let it happen, right? And finger guns come out again, and I'm like, I'm in. And I wake up in a bathtub in a fancy condo on the beach. It was one of my buddy's parents' condo. And I just remember everybody being like, well, you know, you've had enough a couple of years. You need to blow off some steam. I'm like, okay, go with that. Lots of people wake up in the bathtub. This guy was a doctor. He had to sit up with me half the night so that I didn't, like, Hendrix myself, right? Or put me in the bathtub. He would get up to go back to bed, and he would hear me like slide down the bathtub and start aspirating. So he had to come back, pick me back up, and keep me alive. That's my first time back out drinking. So still not ready to know I'm an alcoholic yet. I joined like a kickball league because I think I'm gonna meet friends and meet girls. I'll do it on a Wednesday. I won't, surely they won't get hammered on a Wednesday. They do. So I go out there a few times, right, I try not to drink, or like, I try to drink like how I guess normal people drink, and I'm going to like absurd lengths to not get drunk, right? I'm like going into the bathroom and dumping out like half my drink, I'm like leaving a drink on a table, and then somebody else gets me another drink, right? Like, it's work, it's torture not to get drunk, right? And I guess normal people don't have to like try to not get drunk. They just don't, if they don't want to. And when I came here, people were like, cannot control and enjoy your drinking. I was like, oh, because I thought I could control it. But that's a pretty good caveat, and enjoy, because I can't do both. And anyways, to get to the point, I tried to drink one more time, right? And I had like an unsuccessful drinking adventure at like my buddy's wedding. Where I didn't ruin the wedding, and a couple weeks later, it's like almost Christmas, and go to Ebo with some friends, and I have this other opportunity to go hang out with some friends that have kind of grown up a little bit, and they were like going to hang out at their house, their wives, their families, like go hang out with the rest of them, who are still more degenerates like me, go to Ebo, so I chose that option, obviously. And I'm like broke, I don't have anything going for me. I'm like less than a year out of federal prison. And so obviously like the first time somebody offers me a drink, I wave it off. Next thing you know, I'm drunk. And Long story short, my car's in the parking garage in Ybor, and my friends were like, okay, let's go, let's get a cab, let's get an Uber. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna go get my coat out of my car, right? It was cold that December, and they're standing there waiting. 10 minutes goes by, 15 minutes goes by, they call me, they're like, Mark, where the fuck are you? I'm in my car, I'm on my car. They're like, oh, you're an idiot. Call us and get on. We know how that goes, right? We never got that call. So they did call Ellsworth County Sheriff's Office, and I got arrested for a DUI. So I was in a blackout again, and at this time I lived in Temple Terrace over by USF. And what I guess I was doing is probably taking I-4 to 75 to Fowler. But somehow I ended up going the wrong way on I-4 near Plant City at about 4 in the morning. This is about the same time as like all the long-way driver stuff started happening, so thank God there was nobody on the road. So I get picked up, wrong way on I-4. And I'm on federal probation for a drinking thing. So I get arrested, and I remember, I don't remember any of the arrest stuff, but I vaguely remember like being like walked in Oregon Road jail again. And I remember the deputy being like, man, you got a real problem. You really need to do something about it. Yep. And so I remember laying on that like metal rack again and thinking, you know, this doesn't happen to normal people. Normal people don't get in trouble every time they drink. I'm an alcoholic. I'm probably going to make a prison, but I should probably do something about this when I get back out. Somehow I'm right to say I had a bond. My friends came and got me out of jail the next morning. And they were like, hey, what are you going to do? I was like, well, I think it might be an alcoholic. Like, yeah, maybe. What are you going to do? I'm like, well, probably going back to prison. They're like, maybe. So that next morning, I googled Tampa AA. There was a meeting at this church around the corner from the grocery store I used to work at on Bruce B. Downs. And in that meeting, I found my first sponsor, a bunch of guys from this home group, who picked me up and grabbed me and ran with me. And so, as one does when you find my probation, I call my probation officer, call my attorney first for sure. And they're like, well, dummy, call your probation officer, we'll do what we can. And called them, and they were like, yeah, we know. The officer called us like when they were arresting you, so thanks for that. Said, yep. And they're like, go see your family for Christmas, and then we'll see you on Monday. Like, okay. So I showed up in a shirt and tie with eyeglasses in my pocket because you can't wear contact lenses in federal prison. And they sat me down in the conference room and they didn't immediately take me off in handcuffs. And they were like, this was the new probation officer because they had just been stepped down from big boy probation. And she was like, Mark, what the fuck happened? And I was like, I think I might be an alcoholic. And she looked at me like I was the dumbest person ever. She was like, no shit. These are her words verbatim, which were fair. It's fair, right? And she said, what are you going to do about it? I said, well, start going to AA. She said, that's a great idea. You should keep doing that. I said, what are you guys going to do? We don't know yet. I said, we could send you to outpatient rehab. I said, cool, like that idea. She said, or we could send you back. I said, don't like that idea. She said, we'll let you know. Meanwhile, you're back on big boy probation. So they let me sweat that for like 6 months. Obviously, they didn't send me back, which was very kind of them. Which they did tell me, like, had it made the news, we would have for sure sent you back. But you're lucky. Did not get picked up. So, but by then, I was most of the way through my steps. This is my home group. And I started getting my feet under me in AA. And, when I tell my story, right, like, and I remember when I was newly sober, I would, like, talk to people and be like a low-bottom guy. And then people would be like, well, you went to prison. The only reason you weren't homeless is the generosity of some of your friends. That's fair point. So what I like to say is that, like, there are people in this room that are smarter than me or maybe at least have a lower pain tolerance than me and came in earlier than I did that are the same age as me. And I think that is the smarter, better, easier way. But there's no... You can't get here too soon or too late, right? And you don't have to, like, nuke your life, right? If you are like, you know what? I never went to prison as a result of a bad night of drinking. Maybe I'm not like you. I would say keep coming because you might hear somebody that you do relate with if you don't relate with me. Because I relate a lot with Gabe, and we both do, like, really stupid criminal things when we're, like, drinking. And I think that if Gabe hadn't gotten sober when he did, he could, you know, be telling a very different story a few years from now. So thank you guys.